Welcome to Higher Ground Ministries, where we believe God's Word still speaks today. Our mission is to teach the truth of God's Word from generation to generation, building up believers and reaching hearts with the hope of Christ. Each week, we share messages from our church services, praying they strengthen your faith and encourage your heart. Join us in person or online Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit hgministries.org.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm so grateful to be in church. I know I'm very fully aware that it is warm in this house tonight, but I know that God has a reason for us to all be here. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated in the house of the Lord. Let's give praise and worship a good hand tonight. Amen. Take a moment right now and just say how thankful I am. For one person in particular, and that is Mr. Clocko. Because last minute he was able to cover the drums for us, and I'm so grateful for that. Didn't he do a good job tonight? Amen. I looked back in one of my prayer books that I have, and how many have you're still doing it with me? I know many of you are. The church growth confession. Well, at the bottom of mine, I make notes on it, you know, and at the bottom of my paper, I had wrote, I'm talking probably 5 years ago, I had wrote down, Lord, I'm calling in psalmists and minstrels. Because at the time, some of you don't know, we didn't have what we have, even tonight, what we had tonight. That there was a time where I had to do tracks because we didn't have a praise team. I mean, we had a couple of people, but in order to build back to where we could be, we didn't have a full team. And so I started believing God. And also, we put out a base on the platform because we got to a point where our team was almost full. How many remember? And we still didn't have a bass player. So I'm saying this for a reason. All these years, I can't remember how many years now. She's in the doorway right now. How many years were you believing for a husband, Dawn? How many years were you believing for a husband? 15? 15? 1-5. My cousin right there, for 15 years, she believed for a man of God. She didn't date that much. She only dated a few. And I give her credit. She can give this testimony. I won't go down that road. But anyways, my point in tonight and why I'm saying taking time on this, I believe that it's for a purpose. While she was praying for a husband, Pastor and I have always been praying for people to come and help us and help all of, like, just be part of our family and want to, you know, want the word of God and want to live as best as they can and walk with God and want the word and everything. And here I am as worship leader praying for psalmists and praying for minstrels, right? And little did I know that as I'm believing for something and she's believing for something, God said, I'm going to give that to both of you. Not only is she going to get a husband who, and I'll let her tell the whole thing, but she had a list of what she wanted in a husband. And we worked with this girl, and she was worldly, and her and I were waitressing with this girl, and she would say all the time, oh, yeah, this was years ago. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be getting married. And they're like, you are? When? She's like, oh, probably like September. Oh, who are you getting married to? I don't know. And they'd look at her like, phew. She'd be like, but I am. I'm going to get married. And when she talked about the list that she had, this girl looked at her and she goes, that man doesn't exist. And we're like, you don't know what God can do. Anyways, on Dawn's list, she had one little thing that said, plays guitar. And in parentheses, she put, not a deal breaker. The guy plays guitar, he plays bass, he plays piano, he plays the drums. So my point is, don't give up in your prayers. It took a long time for us to be able to even build this team to where we are now, and I'm so grateful because when we just keep believing, amen? So let's give Justin another hand, amen? Did anybody bring your Bible tonight? All right. Well, if you have your Bible, I want you to go to Psalm chapter 37 and just sit there for a second. The title of my message tonight is God's Way Works. God's Way Works. I'm going to try my best to get us out of here early because of the heat, but I know you guys don't care. You just want. I can see it all over your faces. You want more of God. So let's press in tonight. Amen. And I asked the teenagers to sit up here on the front because I know they're hungry. They just got back a couple weeks ago from Invasion, and we had such a powerful time when we were at that youth conference. And so I wanted them to be right there on the front row. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So just sit there for a second in Psalm 37, but here's what I have in my notes. Thank God for the local church. Thank God. I was praying the other day for all of you, and as I was praying, I was just kind of sitting and listening to just seeing what the Lord had in my heart and what he was saying and just listening and just spending time with him, and this word just kept coming to my heart, and it was Oasis. And I'm like, Lord, that is the best way to describe the local church that God has sent you to, especially ours. Now, I'm the pastor's wife, so I'm just going to talk about ours tonight. Amen? But an oasis means a place of refuge. Oasis is refreshment and renewal. I love this. Amidst life's challenges and right in the middle of spiritual dryness, you come to the oasis. You come here. There's another definition that says an oasis is a shelter. Hallelujah. An oasis is a sanctuary. You hear us saying, well, this is the sanctuary of Almighty God, and this is set apart for him to come and to be among us. And if you think about it, that's not just a place for him to come, but it's also a place of refuge. I say it a lot of times, you hear me, but I'll say like the next hour, 2 hours of time that you're here in this place, and this is your reprieve from that all the darkness that's out there. This is your reprieve from your list of bills that you have sitting on the counter at home. This is your vacation for 2 hours. You get a little glimpse of heaven on earth. Amen? And as much as you want to draw from that oasis, you will have. Amen? So when I think about the local church, I just think of everything I personally have been through, that I came here when I needed a break. I came here a few months ago in the last 6 months, and I posted about it, but I came in here. My body was aching all over. Can anybody relate to that? I hadn't slept good. I didn't feel good. I felt like I just want to lay in bed and put the electric blanket on high. How many know what I'm talking about? And I said, no, it's Sunday morning. I'm getting ahead of myself, but at the end of my message, I'm going to talk to you about having the power of a made-up mind. And I knew better than to lay in bed because I had been crying all night. I said, so what? I'm going to the sanctuary. I'm going to the oasis of love. I'm going to the place where just because I'm pastor's wife doesn't mean I don't have to battle through and win through and, you know, fight through some things in life. And it's you guys that come and surround me and encourage me, and then I'll come and surround you and encourage you. I love the local church. Amen? It's so awesome. God set it up that way. He knew we could not do this alone. He knew we could try to do it alone, but we shouldn't do it alone, because how much better is it that we have so many of us to take care of each other, be there for each other? I hear testimonies now and then of someone found out someone had a bill due and without even asking Pastor and I, because they didn't have to, they went and paid that bill for that person. I've heard testimonies of, we heard that this one was in the hospital, so we just went and we went and prayed over them. Praise God, that's the beauty of a local church, amen? So I'm grateful for you tonight. Somebody say amen. So it's a shelter, it's a sanctuary. I hear a lot of times Dr. Barclay and even Pastor will say this, it's the ark of safety in the last days. And what was Noah saying for 100 years? Basically, just boil it all down, get in the boat. That's not what he was saying, but basically he's like, just please get in the boat. You believe in God, get in the boat. I'm building an ark of safety to keep you safe from all the, well, in that time, the flood, but to keep you safe from all the junk and the crud and all the demonic activity. Come on, somebody. How many know what I'm talking about? So this is the oasis. And here's, as I started to think about it, the obedience. When we have obedience to what God says to do, obedience always brings blessing. I said that to my kids all growing up. If you're quick to obey, you will be blessed. If you disobey, there will be consequences, right? It's the same thing with walking with God. The quicker you are to obey, the higher you can go in your walk with God. The quicker. So be quick to obey. Disobedience to God's word, listen, always, I'm going to say that again, always brings delay. How many know I don't want to be delayed? I just want to be right where I'm supposed to be at the time I'm supposed to be. I want to do exactly what God said I'm supposed to do. And so the way to do that is to be quick to obey. And when you're quick to obey, the blessings start to flow in your life. Blessing after blessing. Amen? Obedience propels us in our purpose. And brings blessing, like I've just been saying. It brings blessing to our lives. And automatically our minds go to money, which is big. It's part of it. But the blessing in my life, one of them, that goes beyond any cost or value, is my kids serving God. The blessing in my life is, yes, having my bills paid, but having enough that I can go and bless one of you or walking down the street and bless someone. The blessing to me is making sure that my family makes it to heaven. You know, the blessing to me is communication with God on a daily basis. Amen. And so obedience to God propels us in our purpose. So you feel like you've been walking in circles. It's time for you to go back and obey God. Go through the word or ask an elder or ask someone in the church that can show you just the simple, basic things that can bring you back in line with God according to his word. And you obey him and get back into living in the blessing, not just a blessing. Amen? God made it so easy to obey him. The devil will lie to you and tell you you will miss out on things. He's a liar. He will tell you, oh, if you live for God, you're going to be miserable. He's a liar. You're so miserable living for the devil. Why don't you just try something new anyways? Come on, somebody. Amen. And all it takes, this is how it's easy to obey God. All it takes is, Lord, you're God and I'm not. It's your will and not mine. Now, let me say something to you. This is just off the cuff, but I just feel to say it. Some of us, as we were growing up, we may have had everything done for us. I am one of those kids. And I don't look at it as a bad thing. I look at it as a good thing because I was very blessed. My mother did everything for us, and I loved it. And then I started doing everything for our kids, and my husband's like, okay, you got to let them do some stuff. Because out of love, out of just wanting to be a mom, whatever. But I looked at it as, I am so blessed. It's not something you should expect, right? But then if that's you, and maybe, let's look at it on the other side. Every time you threw a fit as a kid, let's just say your parents did what you wanted when you threw a fit. What happens with that? It creates a pattern. And if you're not careful and if you don't mature, it's not that your parents did anything wrong. They do the best they can with what they know, right? It's not that, you know, but when you get to a point in your life where you're making your own choices, you can get to a point where you think you throw a fit and God will do what you want, but you got to make sure you're not in that dangerous place. How many know what I'm talking about? And so we have to say, Lord, it is not what I want, it's what you want. And that's hard in a society where we go like this and get whatever we want. Come on. So we constantly have to be putting our flesh down. We constantly have to be putting down our own humanistic view or the reels that we watch that are all the psychologists. Thank God for the psychologists, but I'm telling you right now, that's not what the Word of God says most of the time. And so you have to say, Lord, why am I getting so angry about this situation? Oh, because you just want to get your way. But when you say, Lord, I need to mature in this, what is your way? What does your word say about this particular situation? Oh, okay, Lord, you know what? I'm not going to try to make it happen my way. I'm going to do it your way. Amen? So I'm going to encourage you tonight. In Psalm 37, I'm going to go back and forth between two translations. I pulled the New Living Translation, and I pulled the Amplified Classic, and I'm going to pull some verses out of that whole chapter in Psalm 37, and we're going to look to see how God's way works. And it matters when you're reading the word how you read it. Before you even open your word in the morning or if you do it before bed, whenever you read your word, your prayer should be, Holy Spirit, show me what you mean in your word today. It should not be, I'm going to figure this out for myself. It should not be, I'm going to, you know, ask this person I don't know on YouTube. It should be, Holy Spirit, show me what God meant when he wrote this in his word. And when you are in the middle of a battle like so many of you are tonight, we're living in the last days. And walking with Jesus is not easy. In fact, you have to be courageous to walk with Jesus because he's so unpopular in this day. And you constantly have to remind yourself that the Bible says, he that endures till the end, endures till the end, shall be saved. We're entering into a season where it's not just, you know, tiptoeing through the tulips any longer. But my job tonight is to encourage you. Pastor's job is to correct and rebuke and reprove and love on you. But my job is to encourage you tonight that you will make it through to the other side, that you do have everything that you need is found in the Word of God, that everything that you need to be victorious is found in the Word, in church, around God's people. I'm here to remind you tonight. Maybe some of you are hearing this for the first time. I invite you to take notes. I invite you, young people that are sitting on the front row and throughout this place tonight, I invite you to hear what I'm saying. Don't be distracted, but hear what I'm saying, because if I knew at your age what I know now, I would be even further ahead, and I would be so blessed to see you guys go even further than we ever could. So tonight, you're going to leave encouraged. Amen? Psalm 37 in the NLT version, verses 3 through 5 says this, trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Doesn't that sound good? Verse 4, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. I love it. And commit everything you do to the Lord. Commit your job. Commit your family. Commit your time here when you're serving. Commit it to the Lord. Trust him. I love this. And he will help you. No longer should we ever say, as born-again, spirit-filled Christians, especially in this church, you are very well-versed. Like Dr. Barclay says, we are not an entry-level church. This is a severe discipling church, amen? Maturing church. No longer can you ever say the words, I just don't know what to do. Listen, you may not know in the moment. You may not know how it's going to turn out, but I just read a verse, and if you believe the word of God, all you have to do is say, Lord, I trust you. Please help me. I dare you to do that next time your back is up against the wall and you don't know how you're going to pay your bill. You don't know, or the bills. You don't know how you're going to get food from the grocery store. I tell you what, when we went through a season when we were losing our house and we were working two jobs each, and then there was a season where Pastor, he had shoulder surgery, and at that dealership, they didn't have short-term disability. We had no income from him for 6 months. And I have a new baby, and my dad just died, and we're losing our home, and people are crazy in the church, and everything. I felt like on every single side, there was a battle. But when I said, Lord, help me, you would be shocked at the people that would be, I got extra groceries this week. Let me just drop them off for you. Oh, is there a bill I can pay for you? I didn't tell them what we were going through. Oh, let me pay this for you. And you know why? Because we never stop tithing. We never stop giving. Now the world's, that's stupid. You're losing your house. All the money should go to the house. Nope. The money that comes into my hands does not belong to me. It belongs to God first. And the where I am now is because I never missed a tithe. I never missed an offering. And you can say what you want, and you can be all smart and all everything. I would never, ever, if I went back into that season, I would do it the same way we did it, because it made me who I am today. And it made me more sure-footed. Amen? I want to hear everybody say amen. Okay. Yes. So commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him. He will help you. All right, let's read it in the Amplified because I love it. Verses 3 through 5. Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord, and do good. So shall you dwell in the land and feed surely on his faithfulness, and truly you shall be fed. Verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. Does anybody have anything that you're believing God for that nobody knows about? And you're just believing God for it? And it's just between you and God? And it's like this petition that only you and him are. It's a beautiful thing. And God said, when you delight yourself in him, please protect your delight in coming to church. Please protect your delight in bringing tithes and offerings. Please protect, because in this day, we have Christians that are attacking the very things I just said. Please protect the delight you once had when you first got saved, where you would stay up all night to read your Bible because you were so hungry. Please protect the delight, because when you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires. Verse 5, commit your way. Commit your way to the Lord. I love this. It says this, roll and repose each care of your load on him. Trust, which means lean on, rely on, and be confident. Here's the part I want you to hear. Also in him, and he will bring it to pass. What are you believing for tonight? He will bring it to pass. Psalm 37, let's go to verse 18. These are all scriptures that you can write down and go to when you're just, you know, getting a little weary when you're believing God and it feels like and it looks like nothing's happening and you feel like you're not getting anywhere in your health and you feel like you're not getting anywhere in your marriage, but you're still doing everything you know to do. You bring these verses out and read them out loud. I have a side note. Carly, she's decided that she reads the Bible before bed. Well, how many know we have two dogs? Bruin, who's like 65 pounds, right? And Chico, who's what, like 15, 20 pounds, not even? Okay. Chico's with her. So when she's reading her Bible at night, this is Chico. Because she's speaking out loud in her room. And so I just thought that was funny. Read the word out loud. You would be shocked at what it does. That's why I was going to say that. You would be shocked at how it changes the atmosphere when you feel weary. You would be shocked. Yes, there's a time to listen to the word. Please do that every day. Yes, there's a time to read it and just list, you know, just read it with your eyes. But I don't know if you're like me. I got to write it down. I got to listen to it. I got to speak it out before I can even retain it because my brain is bing, 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 right? So do whatever it takes. In fact, I shared with Steph today that I started doing something a year ago, and I have noticed the fruit of it. So this is something you may need to do, some of you, whoever wants to hear this. I have a notebook now, and when I sit down to read the word, I write out the scriptures that just pop off the page. They just hop off the page. I write the whole scripture out. And then I have a devotional. This is an awesome devotional. If you need one, go to DufresneMinistries.com. It's called Healing Bread for Today. It's not just for believing for healing, though she does focus on that. It's teaching you how to build your faith as you walk as a Christian for anything you're up against. And I'll read that, and there's like 60 days, and you just keep going back through it, right? Because repetition is key. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I'll take something out of that devotional, and you're going to hear some of it tonight. Because I'll give credit where credit is due, because I just take notes. And then when Pastor asked me to preach, I took out my notebook. I had all these things highlighted, and I said, ooh, yes, that one's good. Ooh, yeah, that's good. Because Pastor and I are not studying to preach. We study on our own time, and then we preach out of the overflow. And so I did that. And so that's something, just a little note, in case maybe you're new and you're wondering about, you know, maybe a devotional or how to read the word. I read one proverb a day according to the day that it is. So today was Proverbs 5. And I read that every day. And you can do that 31 days, 30 days in a month, whatever. I'll go and read a chapter of Psalms. I'll go read a chapter in the Gospels. These are just ideas for you in case you don't know where to start. But it's a good place to start right there. Amen. Psalm 37, NLT, 18 and 19. This is so encouraging. Day by day, the Lord takes care of the innocent, and they will receive an inheritance that lasts forever. Day by day. How many times do we get ourselves all in a tizzy because we're thinking too far ahead? When God said, day by day, I'm going to take care of you. Verse 19, they will not. This is such a good scripture for right now where we live. They will not be disgraced in hard times. Even in famine, they will have more than enough. Somebody say, I take that in Jesus' name. In the Amplified, it says this, the Lord knows the days of the upright and blameless, and their heritage will abide forever. Verse 19, they shall not be put to shame in the time of evil, and in the days of famine, I love this, they shall be satisfied. more than enough, and they shall be satisfied. Amen. We're almost done with these scriptures, but Psalm 37, again, verses 23 and 25, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. No more and never again can you say, I just don't know where I'm headed. I just don't know what's going to happen. No, Lord, I trust you're going to direct me to right where I need to be because you told me in your word. And it says he delights in every detail of their lives. He cares about what you care about. He cares about every single detail. Isn't that cool? Verse 24, though they stumble, has anybody ever stumbled? I don't mean fall, Don. Has anybody ever tripped? I mean stumbled. Though they stumble, they will never fall. And this is my favorite part, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Doesn't that just sound so good? In verse 25, once I was young and now I'm old. Yet I have never seen the godly abandon or their children begging for bread. Amen. Listen, I take that scripture right there and say, never will I ever go without food because my God will supply for me. You put whatever you want in there. Never will I never be homeless because my God will never abandon me. Never will I never. Now, the enemy will come and he'll insert thoughts, but you say, no, I just read in Psalm 37, God will never abandon me. I'll be old and I'll be looking back saying, my God never failed me. He never abandoned me and I made it through. Amen. Praise God. Couple more. Psalm 37, 23 and 25, again, this is amplified. The steps of a good man are directed and established by the Lord when he delights in his way and he busies himself with his every step. Though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord grasps his hand in support and upholds him. Never, I'm just going to keep saying those words tonight. Never, ever, never will you ever say again, I'm just so lonely. When God just said to you, when you feel cast down, I'm going to grab your hand. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm not just going to say, hey, you want to come here? Come here, I'll help you. I'm going to grab your hand and say, I got you. I got your back. I told you I'd never abandon you. I told you I'd never leave you. Amen. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Let's just keep going so I don't, all right, hallelujah. Find my favorite ones here. Thank you, Lord. All right, we're going to keep going so we don't run out of time. For those of you that are dealing with worry tonight, I have some encouragement for you. One of the devotionals that I read every day is by Dr. Lester Sumrall, and that's something you can find on Amazon. And this is out of today's devotional, August 5th, but I just took a couple things and then added my own thoughts to it. But worry is wrong because it looks upon an exceptional circumstance as truth, rather than the established word of God. How many have ever heard it? My dad preached it. My husband preaches it. I've heard many people say that worry looks at the facts instead of the truth. But how many know facts can change? But the truth will stand forever because Jesus is the truth. Amen? Thank you, Lord. God has promised that he will protect us. He will provide for us. He is not a man that he should lie. Therefore, it's established. Nothing can change it. The situation you're in right now that you're worrying about, I have news for you. You're not the only one that's ever been there. When my dad stepped into heaven, I tell you, the devil lied to us. You're the only one that's going through this. You're the only one being attacked by the people in the church. And then we met other pastors that we're going through almost the same exact thing. And it encouraged us and it shut the devil's mouth because he's a liar. Amen. Worry, listen, someone needs to hear this. Worry is a form of unbelief. You're saying, I don't believe that Jeremiah 29, chapter 11, when he said he has a good plan for me, when you start to worry, you're literally telling God, I don't believe that you have a good plan for me. How many believe he has a good plan for you? So never again, when worry enters your mind, you say, nope, I'm standing on Jeremiah chapter 29, where it tells me that my God said, and I believe it, it settles it right now in my heart, that my God told me that he has a plan for me, he has a future for me, he has a hope for me. He told me that he'll never leave me, come on. He told me he'll never forsake me, he'll never abandon me. He said that if somebody is against me, doesn't matter because he's for me. Come on. These are things you have to say out loud when worry comes into your mind. Listen, worry distorts the truth. Right? It's never the way that worry makes it to be or make it look like. Never. Worry distorts the truth, and it always makes it look worse than it really is. How many know what I'm talking about? Have you ever stayed up worrying all night and worry just consumed you? You couldn't go to sleep because you just kept thinking and thinking and thinking, and nothing that you thought on the entire night ever happened. Right? Worry is of the enemy, and it's an offspring of fear. It's a fear of the future. But how many know God has not given me, he has not given you a spirit of fear? Because worry is, it's really an offspring of fear, and fear is a spirit. Fear is not a feeling. Fear is a spirit that lies to you. But God said he has not given me, he's not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Worry starts in your thoughts, so your assignment is to take every thought of worry captive. How do you do that? What do? Write it down, what you're worrying about, and rip it up? Sure, go ahead. If that helps, do it. But what I do is I speak the word of God. And if you have to speak the word of God all night, do it. Do it, and it will get easier and easier and easier. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. When an unexpected bill, how many have ever been there? You get this bill in the mail, and you're like, wait, what? What is this? This doesn't even make sense. I wasn't even in this place. How did this? I already paid it. How many know what I'm talking about? And instantly the thought comes, you're not going to be able to pay that. You won't have enough. Now your mortgage is going to be late. How many know what I'm talking about? But instead, when the thought comes, you can stand in your kitchen or wherever you open your mail, and you literally speak out of your mouth, I cast down that thought. I am a tither. I'm a giver. I believe, Lord, you shall supply all my needs. You knew this bill was on the way before I even opened my mail. And I believe you're going to supply in Jesus' mighty name. Say it out loud many times until your thoughts line up with the word. And then it cracks me up. You get yourself all worried and concerned about a bill, and then you call about it, and they go, oh, that was a mistake. Sorry. And you wasted. Come on. Worry gets you to waste time. Time is so valuable. Amen. Hallelujah. Unbelief is unreasonable. Unbelief is unreasonable. It causes you to see nothing but the dark side of things. It causes you to see nothing but the dark side of things when a crisis comes. It blocks out the power of the Almighty Living God. I remember way back when my dad preached this message. Some of you may remember this. I know my mom will. But he came up here and he had a piece of white paper. And in the middle of the white paper, he put a tiny little black dot. I can see some of you saying a black dot. You remember that? And the point was, he said, what do you guys see? And everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people said a black dot. And he's like, no, what about all the white that's around that black dot? And worry will get you to be focused on the little tiny thing that you have to come, you know, to terms with, or you have to figure out, instead of all the other things that God has done for you, that he's going to do for you. Come on. When we're focused on the issue and not the power of our God, we will never advance. But this takes time, and this takes a lot of work with your thoughts. This is not overnight, so don't get discouraged if you're like, okay, yeah, I'm here again. Yeah, I'm worried again. Yeah, I'm depressed again. Yeah, I'm fearful again. Just keep speaking the word of God. When you begin to train yourself, when you do look at the tiny little black dot instead of the big white paper, you begin to train yourself to see what God sees in the situation instead of what your mind looks for first. You have to train yourself. And then what happens is you begin to look at things through the eye of faith. And faith pleases God. I want you to write this down. It may help someone. Every thought you take is a battle lost or a victory gained. Thoughts come, but you decide which one you're going to take. So every thought you take is a battle lost. Okay, I'm going to worry tonight. You're losing the battle. Or You can take that thought and say, no, I rebuke you. I command you to leave my thinking. I command you to leave my memory. Do you know some of you are sitting in this room tonight? Some of you are going to get this recording, and you literally have bitterness from when you were 5 and 6 and 7 years old, and you haven't forgiven your father, and you haven't forgiven your cousin. And yeah, all the things they did and said, they were very true and they were very real. But now is the time to counteract all of that bitterness and unforgiveness, and you have to get rid of those thoughts because they have you bound and you're stuck and you're losing the battle as a Christian and you can't figure out why. It's because you're focused on the pain instead of being focused on the healer of the pain. Amen? Hallelujah. Take note of your thoughts and also take careful note of what you're saying about yourself and about your life. It is not a joke. It's very, very important what you say about what you're going through. If our God could create the universe with words, how much are you creating in your life with the words you're saying? Oh, my God, it's so hot. I'm dying. Really? Oh, these kids are going to be the death of me. Really? I love this one. That just tickles me pink. I don't want to turn pink. But, you know, somebody might say, well, I didn't really mean it. But listen, we have to pay attention to what I'm saying. If you're constantly saying, I'm broke, I never have enough, you need to stop saying that and start saying, I thank you, Lord, for the wisdom on how to handle my money. Because God is not going to trust you with the 1,000 if you can't even handle the 100. Come on, somebody. It's not I'm broke. It's, no, you need to have some more management. I'm speaking to me. Come on, somebody. And you need to have more self-control. And I was just telling some people this at Invasion. You need to tell yourself no. I don't like to hear no. I don't like to hear no. Nobody does. But if you're going to keep going in these patterns, it's time for you to say, I'm done. I'm getting my stuff in order. Amen. Thank you, Lord. If you're constantly talking about how depressed you are and how worried you are and how awful you feel, you're going to stay right there. But when you begin to speak over yourself and declare your God is working on you, I'm not talking about being in denial and acting like everything's perfect. Nope, I'm just perfect, and that's what you're saying over yourself. No, instead of saying, I feel so sick today. Okay, it's obvious we know you don't feel good because we can tell by the way you're carrying yourself, right? But instead of saying that, say, Lord, I just thank you that you are healing me, that I'm not 100%, but I know I'm not where I was yesterday. But I thank you, Lord, today your healing's working in me. I thank you, Lord. If you truly believe what the Word of God says, you will say things like that. Amen. And then, this is my favorite, and then you'll find yourself going from power to power instead of crisis to crisis. You'll find yourself going from glory to glory instead of issue to issue. Can somebody say amen? We need to begin to cut the life source of symptoms in our body by declaring the word. Let me explain what I mean. Keep confessing the word until you're completely healed. You don't have to just pray once. You can pray and ask him every day. And just say it in faith. Lord, I ask you to heal me today. I thank you. You've made me feel better yesterday and today. I'm asking you to heal me even more. I'm in process of my healing. I'm in process of my miracle. And just keep looking forward. Keep confessing till you're completely healed. Keep confessing till you get out of debt. Keep confessing what the word says. Amen. Don't stop speaking over your body just because you don't feel healed. Use your mouth to cut off the life source of sickness. Listen to this. When a limb falls off of a tree, we've heard this before, the leaves will stay green for a while. But because it has been cut off from the life source of the tree, eventually those leaves will wither and die. It usually takes time. How many know what I'm talking about? Well, just like the pain in your body, just like the depression that tries to keep you down and bound, you begin to speak the word over yourself, and every time you do that, the symptoms, the pain weakens, and they soon will dry up and die, and you will be healed. Don't stop speaking the word. Don't stop confessing. In 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, David was greatly distressed. How many remember? It says, for the men spoke of stoning him, because the souls of them all were bitterly grieved. each man for his sons and daughters. But the last part of that verse says this, but David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord. But David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. I know you're sitting here tonight. I'm almost done because I'm going to wrap up early tonight, but distressed. You may be distressed. Well, what is distress? It's suffering from anxiety. If I hear that word one more time, I have a side note about that word. They pump that word all over the TV. They pump it in the schools. It's everywhere. You know, Liana, who's sitting here, been homeschooled her whole life. You're 14, right? She's 14 years old. One day you were talking about something to do, and the word anxiety was part of what you were talking about. Liana looked at Steph at 14 years old and said, what is anxiety? I'm thinking to myself, you know how many people are already in the, you know, and you do whatever you need to do, but anxiety is everywhere. There's even a demonic song about it that many of you are singing in your head right now. It's a demon that is talking about in that song. Stop listening to it. And you wonder why it's in your head? Because they do that. They make them so they're catchy. But anxiety, your anxiety is watching you? No, that's a demon, honey. It's lying to you. So these people and David, they were distressed. It means suffering from anxiety. This may describe some of us tonight. Suffering from sorrow or pain. Intense suffering of anxiety or pain, both physical and spiritual. And sometimes they're caused by external circumstances, internal struggles, or even spiritual battles. But if you turn in your Bible or write this down, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, this is the, you know, they write out prescriptions, bless their heart, they try the best that they can, but prescriptions are just Band-Aids. They're not going to heal your body. They're not going to help you and set you free. But in Philippians chapter 4, 6, and 7, this is my prescription for you. You say this over yourself if you deal with anxiety. And I believe every single one of us can say at one point, at certain times, you have those feelings or whatever of anxiety. But tonight, that doesn't come out of your mouth anymore. It says this in Philippians, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, which are definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. If you're dealing with anxiety, if you're dealing with sorrow or pain, the need that you have is to be healed from that. And this is telling you to talk to God. Talk to him every second of the day if you have to. Make your want known to him. But verse 7, here it is. And when you do those things, God's peace shall be yours. And in this version, it says that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so, fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Please go study that more. Please, this is going to help somebody sleep tonight. This is going to help somebody get rid of the anxiety and the fear and the turmoil and the pain that you've been experiencing. Please understand, a garrison is a military post where troops are stationed permanently, and the peace of God will stand post permanently like a troop of soldiers guarding your mind when you pray and when you talk to God about it. He will send a garrison. It's a military, it's troops. His word will actually protect your mind from fear. His word will actually protect your mind from anxiety. And not only will it protect it, it won't let any of that stuff back in. When you stand in thanksgiving, when you stand in his peace, when you say, Lord, I'm just talking to you right now. I receive what you have for me. I wrote to Dr. Barclay and asked him about this because he's military, and he said this, a garrison is a permanent post where military resides, and this is my favorite. And many times they train there, but the significance is there's no battle, there's no combat, here's my favorite, and there's no enemy. The peace of God shall make a garrison over your mind. How do you get his peace? By praying, by having thanksgiving. Even when you feel like everything is falling apart, the fact that you're on your way to heaven is what you can be thankful for in that moment. So don't you dare say, I have nothing to be thankful for. No, you're just hurting right now, but I'm telling you how to get healed. If you're in distress tonight, I'm telling you, perfect peace and rest is available to you. This is your answer. The word will protect your thoughts and help you to stay in God's perfect peace. Every person that's ever dealt with what the world calls PTSD, every person that's ever dealt with trauma, every person that's ever dealt with anything that rocked your world, and you're still dealing with it, and the thoughts still come, and you still have responses that are out of the trauma that you dealt with, tonight I'm telling you, go and read that verse over yourself before you go to bed and receive that peace. Because the peace is actually Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. And he himself will put that garrison over your mind where there's no enemy. There's no more battle. There's no combat. Hallelujah. I know it's hot, but doesn't that make you excited? We win. I don't care. I do care what you're going through, but trust, just listen to what I'm saying. I don't care how big it looks. Our God is bigger. I don't care how hard it has been. Our God is bigger. You will win. Because the Bible says that we are the church. Come on. I'm not talking about 186 Central Street. I'm talking about each and every single one of us. We are the church. And the Bible tells us that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. So you stay consistent in what God tells you to do in his word. You stay as a tither when the world is telling you it's not for today, it's legalism. Yeah, I have to go toe-to-toe with people. I'm not going down that road. But anyways, listen, you stay consistent. Consistency is your key to breakthrough. There's something about repetition. There's something about doing it over and over and over again until you get your breakthrough. Can I tell you about a woman with the issue of blood for 12 years? Can I tell you about a woman who was bowed over for 18? Can I tell you about three Hebrew boys that were thrown into a fiery furnace and they never bowed to the world? They didn't bow to these heresy. They didn't bow to these doctrines of demons. They stayed steady. They dug their heels in and they made it through. You are not going to win on your own. Can only do it with God. Three things to leave you with tonight. Actually, I have two sets of three things. It is pastor's pulpit. So you know how he's like, okay, I'm going to wrap it up. And then that's like six times of wrapping up. We win. You have to write this down. I win. I will win. The devil is no match for me. His demons are no match for me. I am a daughter of the Most High God. I will not let my mind be the boss of me. I'm the boss over my mind. I will not carry the label. Come on. I will not wear it like a badge that I have anxiety. I will not wear it like a badge that I have trauma. I'm going to talk about my testimony and how God brought me through. And I was labeled because I had grief. And I was labeled because depression was knocking on my door. And I didn't want to get out of bed. But I said, Lord, no, I'm not going to waste time living in worry and fear. I'm going to rise up and do what the Word of God says. Three things. Ready? Number one, to keep this peace, to keep yourself encouraged. Number one, be quick to forgive. That does not mean you have to be in relationship. I'm talking about you and your heart. Be quick to forgive. And you cannot judge someone else's heart, by the way. I'm tired of people saying you're not walking in love, you're not loving, because you don't know my heart. But my God does. He'll show you eventually. But be quick to forgive. Drop the charges. I want you to hear this because some of you may have never heard this in your life. Unforgiveness brings sickness. First of all, unforgiveness, you won't get to heaven. So unforgiveness, it brings sickness. They have proven that cancer can be caused. You can trace it back to someone who has bitterness. Not all situations, so don't overinterpret what I'm saying. But it can lead to cancer and sickness, disease. You feel like you're always mad at someone. You feel like everyone's out to get you. You're always defensive. You're always in defense mode. You always got to prove yourself. You always got to have the last word. You got some unforgiveness. But work it out because Holy Spirit can help you with it. Amen? Thank you, Lord. And that doesn't mean you feel like you've forgiven them. The Holy Spirit will help you to get healed in your heart. Number two, be quick to release any and all grudges. I heard Steph say, and I had preached it before, but somebody cut me off one day while I was driving, and I like followed them up my hill, and I was like, got out of my car, and I was like, did you see that guy? And Pastor was like, and I'm like, he cut me off. And he's like, he just looked at me, and I'm like, so I beeped at him, and it felt good. And he's like, And then he goes, are you done? And I'm like, yeah, I'm done. I literally was holding a grudge for like 5 minutes. No, we can't even do that. Like, we can't hold grudges. Drop them. And then number three is so good, and this sums up my whole message. Be quick to obey God's word. Be quick to obey. So be quick to forgive, be quick to release all grudges, and be quick to obey God's word. You got to check yourself with the grudge thing. I've been working on it for a while now. When you hear someone's name, why does your face get all distorted still? Because you haven't forgiven them. It's okay. Recognize it and then say, Lord, help me. And then every time you hear their name, don't let your face get all distorted. Don't roll your eyes. Like, it's something we all have to work on, right? And no grudges. Like, not even for a minute. Because you could drop dead and, like, what's going to happen then? So you can't be yelling at people on the road, Patty. Some of the things that Patty says when Carly drives with her. What's your favorite, Dawn? What, do you need a written invitation? What? Gas is on the right. I love it. Anyways, be quick to release any and all grudges. Some of you have grudges against people that are dead. Enough. Isn't this good, though? It's just so practical. It's the power of the made-up mind. I have made up my mind, and stand to your feet with me tonight. I want you to take a hold of this. This is not because I'm a pastor's wife. This is not because pastor is this bold. This is me. This is what you have to decide individually as a Christian, and really more, I like how pastor says it, as a believer, because so many people say, oh, I'm a Christian, and they do not. They do not walk it. But when you're a believer and you're I love what pastor says, active Christianity, or actively walking with God, you have to make up your mind. I'm going to serve God or die. There's no in between. The Bible says, Jesus said, you're either hot or cold. What did he say about lukewarm? It's not going to cut it. There were five foolish, there were five wise. And on and on. And coming up on Thursdays next week, pastor's going to start, not next week, the week after, pastor's going to start a study on Revelation. So he'll talk about that more. But you, right now in this moment, you have to make up your mind. The day I made up my mind that I was not going to miss church for anything, the headaches I used to get on Sunday mornings went away. The kids being crazy on Sunday mornings, it went away. When I made up my mind, there's something about making up your mind in the things of God. When I made up my mind at 12 years old, it's pretty cool, that I was going to be a tither. 12. I was making $10 a week. And I said, no, I'm a tither. I'm bringing that dollar to the altar, and I'm going to honor God. Since I was 12 years old, I made up my mind. Nobody could ever change my mind on that. And, this is a bad lyrics of a song, but you could stand me up at the gates of hell, but I'm not going to back down. I learned that from my parents. I learned that from my dad and the way that he preached. And I learned that he said these words. He said, I'll dig my heels in. My dad was the most fun-loving, joyful man I've ever met, but when it came to the word of God, he walked in an authority. People would try to talk to him to compromise and change on this and change, yeah, but this and yeah, but that. And he'd say, no, you stick to the word of God. So you have to make up your mind tonight. Do you want to keep going in circles? Do you want to keep being immature? Do you want to keep? Because listen, God will let you have whatever you're okay with. I heard Pastor Nancy say this. She said, if you're okay with your kids talking rude to you, then you're going to have that. If you're okay being in debt, then you're just going to keep it. I'm not okay with people coming against the word of God. Now listen, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But I'm not going to say, it's all right, no problem. I just will do what I have to do, walk away, block, unfriend, whatever. I'm standing my ground. because the trumpet's about to blow. And God isn't joking. And you have to make up your mind, if you're going to walk by faith, because that's what pleases God, amen, you have to make up your mind that you're going to live a life of honor. There's a lot of honorable people in this house tonight. Because honor is what precedes faith. Because faith is nothing without love. How can you love someone you don't honor? And how do you honor someone if you don't love them? You don't honor them. So you have to live a life of honor. Jesus is full of honor. He is honor. So you have to make up your mind that you're going to serve God or you're going to hell. And God will let you do that. Right? So make up your mind. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do it His way. Not my way. Not what YouTube says. Not what some heretic's saying on the... It's everywhere. I've made up my mind. Myself. You can take this if you want. I'm going to be an honorable daughter of God. And I want to tell you something right now. Honor is very expensive. Takes up your time. Takes up your energy. Takes up your money. But if you live a life of honor, you will live in the blessing. Not just money, and that's part of it, though. But you will live in the blessing of peace. Come on. You'll live in the blessing of when symptoms do come, like I just preached. Symptoms come, but you tell them, out. I walk in divine health. That doesn't mean I'm never sick. That means when symptoms come, I cast them out. You get out right now and take authority over them. And you speak the word. And I love what Pastor preached not too long ago. Three things. Here's my last three. God is here. God cares. And He's working on it. I'm going to make we should make something. Like a little index card that we laminate or whatever. But God is here. He cares. And He's working. Even when you don't feel it, He's working. Even when for a whole year, there were times I didn't get out of bed. Even when a whole year, when I was crying myself to sleep, and I did live in worry and fear, but my God came through for our family once again. Why? Yeah, got a little crazy in the head, but don't we all? But it takes us saying, no, I'm not going to think that way because I know too much. I know too much. I have too many stories in the book. I have too many testimonies, living, walking testimonies. Doris healed of brain cancer. Come on. Jordan set free of addiction in a life. I'm sorry. I tell him this. I didn't think he was going to make it. I thought we were going to get the call that he was gone, that he OD'd. But my God, He always brings us through. Please don't ever, ever go down that pit of despair when you're surrounded by so many people who can help you to get pulled back up. Amen. Bow your heads with me tonight as we close and I close in prayer. Father, I'm so grateful for Your word. Your word is our lifeline. I'm so grateful for a good pastor that cares about us so much. That yes, he says that his job is to rebuke us and it's not fun for him. It breaks his heart. But I know mostly it's done from the pulpit so that way we receive it and we work on it. And I'm so grateful for that. I've grown so much under the preaching and teaching of a mighty man of God. Tonight, Lord, we're encouraged. We are going to make it. We are going through to the other side. You did tell us the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. So we hold tight to that. We hold fast to that. And Lord, I speak peace to every storm and every person's lives. I declare You have a good plan for them. You have a good future for them. You have a good hope for them. And You have a good plan for this ministry. As long as we stay steady, as long as we dig our heels in, we stay faithful. We stay consistent. Even when it gets like, are we still doing this? We're going to stay steady and have times of refreshing in Your presence. Lord, we're so grateful for this church family and we're so grateful for You and everything You've already done and everything that is yet to come. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, say amen. Hallelujah. Give Him a good praise tonight.
Thanks for joining us at Higher Ground Ministries. We pray today's message encouraged your heart and helped you grow in your walk with the Lord. Want to worship with us in person? Our services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Learn more at hgministries.org and be sure to share this message with someone who needs encouragement today. Until next time, keep your eyes on Jesus and keep climbing higher.